This show is about spoilers and discussion. It's also about spooky things that are best enjoyed after you see the movie. So any movie we talk about, we recommend you go see. You've been warned.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Horror. There is no shortage of monsters to haunt our dreams.
Horror. You got red on you.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Horror.
Alive, it's alive.
Groovy.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Oh the Horror, a horror movie podcast where we look at classic and modern horror films from an expert and a newcomer's perspective. I'm the expert Rob Holmes.
And I'm the newcomer Steve Allman.
And today we are talking about the 2008 film Martyrs.
Yes, directed by Pascal Laugier, the very French-sounding director. I'll safe to say that this is a torture porn film. I think we can.
This
might be the definition of a torture porn film almost.
I think there's some elements of that, but it's definitely much larger than just saying it's a torture porn film. I would see something that's more along the lines of, and there are elements that are very much torture porn in this, but there's a weird purpose for it, or at least it seems that way. Like there's something to be done. It's not about people just going in there and cutting someone into pieces for the sake of cutting someone into pieces.
Sure, I sure, but then again, I could just as easily try to be like, oh well, this movie clearly is finding a reason to do all of those things.
Sure,
but that could easily be debated. But
right, exactly.
Let's get into like the sort of brief synopsis here, because after you guys have seemingly seen this movie, at least,
yeah, if you haven't,
we can gather.
And as we say, you know, if you haven't seen it, turn off the podcast, go watch this film, and then just, you know, turn it back on.
We'll be spoiling it. Yeah.
Oh, so much. Dear God, so much.
There's a lot to talk about here. I think the main sort of thing, and I really don't know how to feel about this movie, having seen it.
Yeah, I know, right?
There's a lot to dissect here. I think the main issue that I think I have with it, it's weird. It's an issue, and it's also kind of a strength. This movie is wildly paced.
Yeah.
It is probably to a fault, absurdly paced. We begin with a simple enough premise of a girl escaping this from what it seems to be just a abandoned warehouse where she was abused for an indeterminate amount of time. And we cut forward to the future.
So it's taking place in... The opening scene was 1971. We jump 15 years ahead, so now we're in 1986, which, you know, it doesn't really matter too much, but at the same time,
it doesn't feel like it needs to be established in this time period. Nothing
not
in
really,
this movie
no.
feels period-centric.
No, not especially.
And then so anyway, continuing on, that we are now in the seemingly, like, farther along past, like it's about 10 or so years later,
15 years later. What's interesting about this 15 years later scene is we start this scene very much like, oh hey, look at this family, they seem perfect, like the mom
it's
is
a normal family that's just fighting over normal things and seemingly has nothing to do with this opening sequence.
It doesn't at all. It does, but it doesn't at the time you're watching it. You're like, oh, okay, this is interesting, and you think you're going to follow some members of this family. They're actually being set up to be kind of your protagonist. You're wondering which one is going to be your main one. And then there's someone at the door, and dad goes to check, you know, to see who's at the door, and gets blasted away with a shotgun.
Horrifically so. Horrifically
Holy
so.
Holy crap, man. Like, they go all out. I will say, like, this film, I do like the cinematography a lot, and I really like the sound design, but holy crap, the gore effects are top-notch.
They really are. I think later on in the film, we see a bit more of a stylistic approach to these gore effects, and makeup effects especially, but I want to get to this opening sequence of this young girl basically gunning down an entire family In the first, what seems to be 5 to 10 minutes.
Minutes of the movie. I think within like probably 10 minutes of the movie, family dead.
So, okay, we have either an antagonist or what is seemingly a protagonist, and we find out that it is Lucy, the same girl in this opening sequence, that is hell-bent on some sort of revenge for this family, even though we don't really understand why or what this family seemingly has to do with her suffering. But she says that they have everything to do with it.
So, yeah, she has just murdered this entire family with really, like, no remorse whatsoever. And we're like, all right, so is she our anti-hero? Like, she says that there's a reason for it. And then, out of nowhere, gets attacked by this disfigured, emaciated,
mangled up woman.
And starts
seemingly something out of like The Ring or something,
right? And at that moment in the beginning, if you know, the first time I saw this, so I saw this when it came out in 2008, I was like, what the hell is happening? What the hell is this creature thing now? And then all of a sudden you see that she's just attacking herself, and this is like a vision that she is having. So like this is all in her head. And it's crazy because there are moments where even though you know that that's what's going on, it's such a strong visual element of what's happening on screen that you kind of forget at times that it's all in her head because it just seems so visceral until there are those moments where it's clearly defined that it is just her.
Right, and that doesn't really come on until much, much later in this film. So again, like, I need to stress how fast this movie goes from, like, it is a bell curve of intensity.
It's the first hour,
halfway point of this movie.
I would say the first hour makes sense for what it is. Like the first up until like right
the first
at the
half,
one.
You
no,
say.
No, actually, like first it's up to the first hour point, like right at the 1 hour line. That's when the other group shows up and you're like, wait, what the fuck is going on? Like, we have just transitioned this into something completely different than where it was going.
The main issue that I started to have very much in the beginning is that I am completely disoriented as to what I am supposed to be paying attention to. What are the stakes? What is essentially happening? Because the dynamic between Anna and Lucy is not exactly well established. They're very good friends, clearly, but we have real no establishment of how deep their relationship goes because clearly Lucy has a lot of mental problems that is just, she's just hell-bent on revenge and is clearly hallucinating to get that revenge for some reason. We don't know why.
Well, we do find out eventually, but at the time we're very confused on what the hell is going on. It's this girl who's seeing crazy shit. At the beginning, we don't know that she's actually seeing crazy shit, and then we're introduced to Anna, who finally comes in and sees what or calls. You know, Lucy ends up calling Anna and is like, "Hey, what's going on?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, I'm at the house. I went over to it," and she ends up going and trying to get her. And she comes in there and there's the dead bodies everywhere. But she straight up just helps her in being like, all right, well, I'm going to help you just bury these bodies and we're going to escape. You know, everything's going to be okay. And it's just like, it's a weird relationship that they have with each other because both of them have been abused. That's what, like, in both situations, they both come from abuse, right? That's why I think, like, Anna is so... She feels like she has to take care of Lucy, but at the same time, she needs her. It's just like they just need each other. There's that codependency.
Yeah, they do. I wish we had like spent a bit of time trying to establish the relationship between these two because I feel like the splitting point that happens in this movie very much depends on why Anna and Lucy's relationship is so strong because Anna does stuff that as they're happening. Before this halfway point happens, we don't really understand why she does them.
Right. Well, and then it ramps up to a point where, well, we do find out later, but yeah, at the time we're trying to figure out like what the hell is going on. And then
and there's a point in like unrelenting, like, you know, either tension or action to convey a sort of a sense of those things. But it does this to the point of absolute confusion and frustration, really, in my part, because I don't exactly know what is going on. Like, I keep having to pause and being like, wait, what? We're doing this now? What?
It's not clearly defined. I think it could have been done a little better on that. Yeah, it gets weird after that, though, because then we find out that the mom isn't dead fully, even though she's been shot with a shotgun and has been bleeding out for hours. She's somehow still alive, but, you know, whatever. And her, like, dead daughter has been placed on top of her, which is just really messed up. I mean, actually, that whole, like, the way that she just killed the family was just way more intense than you would expect it to be. And well, at this point, you know, Anna is trying to rescue the mom, and yeah, that's not working for Lucy. So she just like bashes the mom's head in with a hammer really hard. I mean, like, way overkill. And then
and that's also provoked by Anna, you know, more or less trying to save her.
Yeah, and she sees it as this, you know, giant betrayal. And at the same time, she thinks that, you know, she's going to stop seeing these hallucinations, but she doesn't. And then she realizes, you know, this is never going to stop. It's never going to be over. And she ends up slitting her wrists all the way down, you know, her forearms, and then running through glass and then slitting her throat right in front of Anna. And you're like, at this point, you're like, we're 45 minutes into the movie. What the hell is going on? Like,
yeah. This feels like the ending of a movie.
Yeah. It feels like we watched the first episode of something and then that's how it ended. And then we're going into the next chapter of this, and everything that happens, just because it's jarring. Yeah, it's jarring. And I don't want to say that it's necessarily a bad thing, because up until this point, I'm a little confused by the film, but I'm intrigued. You know, it's the first time I saw this, I was like, okay, I'm interested. This is very strange. It's taking a lot of detours. Maybe the payoff is going to be really, really great. So then Anna finds out that there is a secret compartment underneath this house. Like, she ends up finding this chamber area and finds someone who has been locked down there and has this like helmet thing over their face so they can't see, right? And she, and it's basically, if you've seen the movie Seven, it looks like Sloth from Seven. It was insane, man. Like,
it weirdly reminded me of one of the what are the group of demons called from Hellraiser again? I can't remember.
Cenobites.
It reminded me a little bit of a Cenobite.
Yeah. Oh, when wearing the wearing the helmet thing and everything. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was very, very strange seeing this. So she ends up bringing her upstairs,
like attempting to nurse it back to health.
Right, like trying to save this, or at least, I mean, she even says she can't really do too much, but she at least wants to try and do what she can. I feel like she thinks it's like her duty to do that, since she doesn't have Lucy right. anymore.
This is the weird, like, confusion that I have. I'm like, if I knew why she would even be sticking around in this house.
Right. That part got me a bit, too.
Like, you clearly don't know how invested your friend is or how crazy she is about getting revenge on these things. Like, to let alone explore the house, or if you find a tortured to nearly death woman, you are then compelled to nurse her back to health in the same house where all of these dead bodies lay and all of this, like, fucked up shit is happening. Why are you staying here? I don't, like, I could not possibly find a way to figure out why she kept staying here, other than, like, is it not established that, like, they were either in this together? Because I feel like if they escaped this together, then this could have been somewhat justified. Or, like, you have to establish their relationship. Sure, like, Lucy knows, like, exactly what this world's about because she was indoctrinated into it. Anna may not. So if Anna came from a area or a time of abuse, that's great. She's ignorant to exactly what the type of abuse was, but they remain good friends and they supported each other through that. That could be easily established through like 10 minutes of their own friendship. And then I'd believe everything as to why she might stay.
Sure. I mean, the argument that anybody has on any of it would be the opening sequence when you see them as kids. But that doesn't really give you enough to establish that. Now, when she tries to nurse this girl back to health, she pries these giant staples out of this girl's skull.
They were like clamps.
I mean,
pouring.
Really?
Like, it was
like,
pouring down her face.
Pouring. And I'm just thinking, no, this is not going to end well for anyone.
No, it's not.
And she gets that thing off of her head. It's just...
I got to think that putting a towel on that open wound would not have been a good thing.
No, probably not at all, man. It seems like a terrible idea.
No, it doesn't. And then she falls asleep because obviously she's had a long day. Like... She's had a very
super long day, man. Super long day.
Waking up to find this woman again writhing in pain, and then she is searing her flesh off like a vegetable peeler with a knife on her wrist.
Yeah, she's just because she's carving herself down, which we later find out she thinks from these hallucinations and stuff that she is seeing bugs all over her body or cockroaches all over her body, which is why she's going crazy and starts just, you know, losing her mind and just like bashing her head and scratching her head against the wall and everything. And you think, you know, she's about to basically, yeah, I think she's about to kill Anna because she's attacking Anna, and you're like, oh shit, this is not good. What's going to happen? Boom, shot in the head and she's gone. Like, out of nowhere. You don't expect that to happen.
Right. But at this point, I'm like, all right, fine. I'm along for the ride at this point.
I know. I'm like all bets are off. Cool. They kept it fresh. They changed it up. Like, I'm watching. I'm like, okay, you know, this is fine. This the girl's going to attack her now. All right, they're going to have it out. Like, we'll see where it goes. But then that happens and I'm like, holy shit, I'm back in it. And, you know, they capture her and they take her and lock her downstairs. And we find out that they are basically this secret society group.
A cult, you might say.
That thinks that if they inflict enough pain onto people and torture enough people, that they will get some sort of transcendental insight into what is beyond our world. And this has happened a handful of times. I think they had like 4 or 5 cases that they... had where when people were in such pain in such terrible awful pain for prolonged periods of time, they all had the same look in their eyes, and all these pictures were taken while they're all alive. So this group thinks that they can recreate that, and Lucy was a test subject who had escaped all those years
ago. When they were young and unorganized, as this woman describes. This like, old elderly, like, not so much elderly, but, like, old crotchety woman, like, basically explaining she found this woman tortured up in the basement, and how she found out that, you know, Anna escaped, or Lucy escaped, excuse me, and, you know, we were trying to attain enlightenment with that, and not that many subjects had done that. And then, like, what precedes is just miserable.
Yep,
like,
that's where the film loses me.
I had a miserable time with the rest of this movie.
Right, and I think that's the point of it, but at the same time,
it doesn't make it any better.
It doesn't, because... So I wanted her to escape. When I first saw this is so back in 2008, I wanted her to escape. I thought that, you know, maybe she'll make it out. Maybe she'll get her revenge. Because the second she starts getting beaten, I'm just like, nope. Nope. She has to be able to fight back and defend herself. And then you see her attack and hit the guy once, but it does nothing. And then there's this montage of her just getting the shit kicked out of her for 10 or 15 minutes.
I literally timed it. Like, what happens to her in that montage is about 20 minutes long. And it was miserable to watch. I found like no actual development in plot or character outside of the like maybe final 5 minutes of that montage where she essentially hears Lucy in her mind and Lucy is telling her to essentially let go and submit to all of this. And that was like the worst to
Oh, absolutely. Hear and it was
see.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I don't seem to find any I don't find any enjoyment in something like that. And then we have like the culmination of her, you know, test or her trial, and it was the final phase of her being completely skinned alive.
Yeah, because she made it to, I guess, stage 4, which was the final stage, and no one's ever made it there. So yeah, they skin her alive.
I'm trying to find value in these parts.
The effects, the effects are great. Like, I have to say, the bodysuit for that and the makeup effects are top notch. They did a great job. Like, the special effects are amazing. But
we wouldn't be talking about hating seeing it so much if it wasn't so good.
Right. And it wasn't. So I get where the film is going and I appreciate it for what it is doing. Yet at the same time, and I think it definitely did what it was intended to do, it made me extremely uncomfortable and feel really gross for watching it, especially with how it all turns out. There is some sort of a bonus at the end by, you know, once she is skinned, she does see that euphoric state and tells Mademoiselle exactly what she sees. So they get the whole group together, and then Mademoiselle, before she even talks to anyone, shoots herself in the face.
Right. And it's actually kind of an interesting thing. So upon her attaining enlightenment, we'll just call it.
Sure.
Like there's an entire like gathering, which looks like a funeral, honestly.
It really does, yeah.
Of all of these other society members, to say that like she has been the first martyr that has come back from this and to report what she has seen, and we're going to be sharing that with you soon. And it cuts back to the old madam, and like the second that I saw like her like taking off all of her makeup and her like headpiece and all of that stuff,
yeah,
I was like, okay, she's gonna kill herself. Like,
oh yeah,
that's clearly gonna happen. And that was nice to know that, like, yeah, like the thing that you made somebody do, you can't handle hearing yourself, and that drives you to kill yourself. Like, that's somewhat cathartic. Again, I do agree with you. I can tell what this movie is trying to do. And I think it's going about it the wrong way, because the whole point is that like trying to find that euphoria or forcing somebody to go through that. He clearly kind of wanted to try to make it empowering for Anna in some way. And he did not convey that at all by simply showing her being pulverized and brutalized abused. It was horrible. It was horrifying. And I don't even want to talk about
worst.
It. I don't want to like talk about the things that happened to her. Like the way that that's portrayed, to put two actors through that stuff is nuts.
I will say this, it's effective as hell. I mean, obviously as a director he nailed it, but
it's just
extremely unsettling. Let's, you know, but beyond that, it's a polarizing film. It's an extremely polarizing film because the first time I saw it, I did not like it at all because it did not go in the direction that I wanted it to. Had not seen it until we decided to do it for this episode. Upon watching it again and knowing where it goes, I do appreciate it more, and I understand where he was going with this as a director and why people do like this film, because it basically just puts a nail in the coffin to the whole torture porn, or, you know, that type of film. It puts it to rest pretty much at that point.
Well, because we were looking at a bit of an era at this time of torture porn films.
Right.
This was kind of a bit of a resurgence for those types of genre movies.
There were a lot of them, yeah. And it's like, that's where this film to me, you know, as I said earlier, it's a torture porn, but I feel like there's something more to it that, as I said, that elevates it. But yes, at the end of the day, it is the epitome of what is the most brutal torture that can be in a film, without someone being like, without having someone tied to a chair and slicing off limbs or something like that. Like, it gets to the point, yes, the skinning happens, but even before we get to that, just it was mainly the thing that got me more than the skinning was just the hitting, you know?
Right.
Like,
it was, and I think the most difficult thing that I have to say about this movie, and I feel like once it was in my head, like, it's true, and I feel it, but I disagree with what you say that it is trying to be, it elevates the genre or subcategory of torture porn, because it has something more to it. And I kind of disagree, because I feel like it is hiding behind the idea of meaning in all of this in order to make it seem more of a civilized movie. Because I see, like, cracks in this movie in the beginning, where it begins as this, like, white-knuckle thriller, home invasion, what the fuck is happening type of movie. It then becomes a sadistic, unpleasant, unfair, torturous, horrible thing to see. And I feel like it was only building, like, the fact that the movie only built up to that is not only a letdown, but it's kind of disgraceful to see. It feels disgraceful to see.
So here's what I would recommend, and I was just thinking about this, and I think it would be a great way to watch Martyrs if you don't want to watch this type of ending, is watch the first 45 minutes of it. Pretend that it's like a short film or part of an anthology series or something like that, and be like, oh, that was really cool, because then it just
ends. Like, that you can see a definitive potential end point where you're like, oh, you just kept going, and this is what you really wanted to make. Because that's the point where the movie takes its time. That's the part of the movie where it wants to actually make sure that you understand exactly what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And
it really does. And I get the idea of the martyrdom thing. I think that's an interesting concept. It's just when you put in the actual brutality of someone just getting beaten over and over with no chance, no hope of getting out. Like, we know where it's going to go. If there was any hope for redemption, that might be a difference. Now, granted, they remade this movie in 2015. Now they changed it a little bit, where Anna is able to, like, Lucy, they Lucy doesn't kill herself. They end up taking Lucy and making Lucy the martyr, and Anna, basically, they take her and, like, bury her alive, and she escapes and ends up getting revenge, and then is able to get to Lucy, and they have, like, a moment together.
That sounds way better.
But apparently it's way worse. And remember, it's a remake that is a little different than how the original went, but then it comes down to execution, and from what it sounds like, the execution was just not there for this, or it was a watered-down version. Mainly from what I've heard, it's a watered-down version of the original Martyrs, which sometimes that's not a bad thing. I guess in this case, it is.
And I think that the importance of, like, I feel like if this movie nailed what it was trying to go for, it would have found catharsis for both its two main characters, and it finds none for either. So if Lucy is made to suffer and die at her own hand because she can't handle what these people did to her, it's either up to Anna to, like, burn that place to the ground, find her own catharsis in subverting them or attaining her own personal, finding a way to mentally break that, to not play their game, to not submit to give in to what they are doing to her, to die like that. I feel like that would have actually been more rewarding if they did not give them that satisfaction. I feel like there are so many different ways to stick it to those people because of what they did to her, because like, you need to give that horrible sequence with Anna meaning by doing something to fuck over that society, and it did not come close to justice.
No, I mean, you get a little was. You get a little bit, you know, Mademoiselle kills herself, but we don't
and
get
that,
we
to
don't
me,
get
that's
like
not close.
Yeah, to me we don't get the mass suicide of the entire group. Like if we did, then I feel like there would be some sort of redemption in it. And maybe that comes later and we just don't see it, but what we had to see was rough enough. Now, here's what I will say. This is a film that sparks a lot of conversation. So it is very effective when it comes to that. I think a lot of the cinematography is fantastic in this film.
Yes.
The sound design is really good. Like, there's some really amazing moments. As I said many times, you know, the practical effects are spectacular. But it's a little scattershot. It seems like it's more of a portrait of mental illness in the beginning is how it's presented.
We're watching a very compelling one. I might say.
And that was the thing about it that really bothered me is that I was watching a movie that I was interested in that I was finding, oh man, this girl, we find out she's seeing stuff and it's all crazy. And then she kills herself and you're like, whoa, where is it going to go from there? And then you think, all right, well, it's going to deal with this girl and more mental illness stuff. But then when it gets into the insanity that it turns into, and that it's so prolonged too, it's not like it's the last 5 minutes of the movie where this happens. It's pretty far into it, you know? Like, you get a good, as you said, 20 minutes of this sequence. That's a long time to sit through that
very
type
long
of stuff.
Time.
And they could have, with how much they put in the first part of it, it definitely slows it down and you're drawn out into that brutality. It just seems much longer than it even actually is. So that's where, if that was the intended effect, well, bravo, nailed it. But I would have liked to see a little more go on in between that. Something to keep it a little more lively and not as so much of a depressing downer.
Yeah, but to wrap up, I think this is probably one of the more frustrating and very, very, I guess I could almost say, problematic movies that I've seen in a long time. And it's one of the challenging things that I kind of welcome when I get to see movies. I'm glad that I, in a weird way, I'm glad that I saw it, but I honestly don't think that I could possibly recommend the whole thing. And I certainly can't recommend actually watching a movie halfway, but if I were to ever recommend a certain section of a movie, it would be the first 45 minutes to an hour of Martyrs.
Yeah, I would say, you know, if you're already a fan of it, obviously we can't dissuade you from that, you know, and you obviously like it for whatever reasons, and I understand that. Like, there are parts of it that I really think are amazing, and I get where it was going. I just think the way it was portrayed in just a few sections was just a little too drawn out, you know, and I get that it's done for effect, but it was a little too much of an effect. Anyway, yeah, it's kind of a half recommend from me, because initially I hated this movie. For years, I denounced this movie and said that it was one of my least favorites. After watching it again, I definitely have a greater appreciation for it. Do I love it? No. Do I like it? Parts of it, yeah, I really do. That's about as much as I can say. Anyway, so next week we are looking at the, this is another French film, 2007's
yes,
Inside. So it's
we're challenging ourselves even more with the French.
Oh man, this movie, it is. Martyrs was intense. Inside, I feel like Inside is more intense, just in a different way.
I certainly hope it's not going to make me feel the exact same way, because I don't want to feel like that again.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully we can look forward to that. So yeah, that has been our quick look at Martyrs. I would say if you're into this sort of thing, I would say just check it out. If you are at all concerned, or if this anything like this starts to trigger you or disturb you, please walk away
yeah.
from this movie.
I mean, look, yes. if you're a fan of the extreme and extreme cinema, this is your movie. Go watch it, enjoy yourself. Yeah, but for me, it's hit or miss. Anyway, that will do it for us here at Oh the Horror. I've been Rob Holmes,
and I've been Steve Ullman,
and we will catch you next time. Thanks, guys.
See you, everybody.
time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead